been that drop nasty thing lane switching. Once you turn your neck for a sec, your dame's missing. Buhando, Buhando, the cops come and got that rap patrol behind yo. Get to running, I'm unstoppable, ho, untoppable flow. I'm the compadre, the Sinatra of my day. Old blue eyes, my nigga, I did it my way. If y'all not rolling with hope, then hit the highway.
All right, welcome to Degenerates NBA Season Predictions. This is the first of our NBA podcasts. Obviously, haven't done any since the season hasn't started. But we're going to be doing one every week with me, Rob Williamson. And this is, I'm going to introduce my co-host. He'll be with me every week all year, hopefully, Will Hathaway. And we're going to get into playoff predictions, picks for tomorrow night's games, and then some of our predictions for the awards for the end of the year. Will, say what's up to everybody.
Hey guys, how you doing? Coming to you live from Washington, D.C. Just going to give you a little flair for some D.C. sports, but try and be as unbiased as possible for the season.
Yeah, and anyone who's listened to any of the stuff I've done, they know I'm really biased. But I don't have my Knicks in my playoff prediction because I just couldn't talk myself into it. Because I think we're going to be pretty bad. So let's get started with the Eastern Conference. Let's just go spot by spot. I guess we'll alternate. Finishing first in the East, I got the Cavs. I think last year I didn't have the Cavs finishing first just because of the same thing that happened with the Heat kind of always happens or has happened with LeBron when he's gone to a new team. And it takes a little while to put it together. By the end of the season, they had it rolling. Obviously, they blew through the Eastern Conference playoffs. And I think this year they're returning everyone. They're bringing back Mo Williams. I think they should win the East fairly comfortably. I just don't see them having those growing pains that they had last year. They made some midseason moves, Shumpert and J.R. Smith, obviously, from my Knicks. Those guys are settled in now. Kyrie's going to miss some time, but I don't think it's going to hurt him that much because LeBron's just that good of a player.
Right, right. Yeah, and I really went back and forth on this one just because like you said, the Cavs are just a great team. I actually went with the Bulls at number one just because I think the Bulls are somewhat trending upwards. They, too, had a team that was a little bit different last year, getting used to everyone. Derrick Rose was obviously out. We had a scare for a little bit with Rose's face this year, but I think if Rose can stay healthy the way Jimmy Butler's coming to his own, I just think LeBron's sort of talking about maybe taking time off this season if he needs to, like he did last year. I just think the Bulls might have a more complete team for the whole year, and the Cavs might be pulling something somewhat similar to the Spurs, where it's sort of like we don't really care what we do during the regular season, but the Cavs are still a great team. But yeah, I've got the Bulls at one.
Nice. I mean, that's interesting. I agree with a lot of stuff you're saying about LeBron sitting out. But the Spurs have also have finished in number one place in the Western Conference a handful of times too. So I don't know if that necessarily means that they're not going to finish number one, but I certainly respect that. I actually have the Bulls in my two spot. So I think Fred Hoiberg's a good coach. I think he's a good fit. I think he's a lot different than Thibodeau, who I think is a good coach, but he obviously overplayed his guys. They dealt with injuries a lot. I think it'll be a good long-term move for guys like Jimmy Butler and especially a couple of the guys who are veterans like Pau Gasol. Just tough with Thibodeau when he makes those kind of guys play as many minutes as they do in the regular season. Hoiberg's, I think I loved what he did at Iowa State. They obviously knocked off our heels in the tournament. And I think these coaches that are coming out of college are competent and can do a really good job at the NBA level. I don't think it's the same as I was having this conversation with someone and they were like, compared it to college football coaches going to the NFL, and I don't really think it's the same thing.
Completely
you can
different.
Have success coming from college basketball.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. I mean, obviously, since I've got the Bulls in my one spot, pretty much no brainer for me going with Cavs at number two. Since I went back and forth there, but yeah, just sort of going off of what you said, I agree completely with. You know, it was time for Thibodeau to get out of there, just like sort of hearing the same voice over and over. You know, I think Hoiberg, like you said, does translate from college to the pros the way college has used a three ball for so long, and now it's sort of the NBA is looking into that, and they're people are shooting the three more and more. But, yeah, so I've got the Cavs at two. I think we both agree that the Bulls and Cavs are kind of a cream of the crop of the East as far as the one and two go.
Yep. The team I have in the three hole I actually really, really like a lot. Toronto Raptors. They were good last year. I think they're going to be really good this year. They went out and got Damari Carroll. Lowry looked amazing in the preseason. They have DeMar DeRozan, Valanciunas. I think they have a really good team. They have a team that's played together and played effectively together now for a couple years. I don't think they have the firepower to finish above Cavs or Bulls or even necessarily beat them in a seven-game series. But I think night in, night out, they can really have an effective record at playing against some of the weaker teams in the East. They strike me as a team that's going to – maybe they'll not be able to hang with the Cavs in a big game, but I think they can really feast on the lower-ranked teams in the East, and there's a bunch of them. And they did it last year where they played in a terrible division with the Knicks and Celtics, and they kind of dominated it and ended up with the third best record in the East last year, and I don't see any reason they won't do the same thing again this year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so this one I've gone, you know, back and forth. I like your pick. We all know what happened last year in the playoffs. Toronto got swept by the Wizards. It's just hard for me to go up with Toronto. I really like what they did. Like you said, getting Damari Carroll, that's, I think, a huge addition for them, not only making them better, but making the Hawks worse. So I went with the Toronto Raptors in this spot as well. Like I was saying, I, you know, didn't really like how their season ended, but I think they went out, got better. It's so hard to go play up in Toronto. The East, while I think I agree with what you said about how, you know, the East, the bottom teams aren't too great, I think those teams have gotten better. I think Boston has gotten a little better, Milwaukee too, even the Knicks. But I do think Toronto will feast on those teams and really use the feared and North home court advantage that they have loved so much up there in Toronto to their advantage and finish in the third spot.
Gotta say, I'm very shocked that you didn't go Wizards in the three hole after they swept the Raptors in the playoffs last year. I almost didn't even listen to you. I almost just wrote it down. Hathaway Wizards three.
Yeah, you know, and like it really, really pained me to say that, but the Wizards, I think people are underestimating what the Wizards have. You know, losing Paul Pierce is big. We have a lot of uncertainties. I think the Raptors have a much more intact roster, and going out and getting Damari Carroll it really, really pained me to see them do that because I loved watching him, but hated playing against him while he was on the Hawks.
He's a high-quality player. And I was a little surprised they got him because they've been starting to pay a lot of their guys that were, you know, not really salary cap hits at all, but then they had to pay guys like Valanciunas and had to pay guys like Lowry. So I was a little surprised they went out and got Carroll, but they're obviously a franchise that wants to stick around the top of the East, and I think they're going to. Am I right in saying you have Wizards in the four spot?
Wizards are four, yep. I've got Wizards in the four spot. Lock it in.
Yep. All right. I also have the Wizards in the four spot. I don't really think the Paul Pierce hit was that big a hit. Obviously, he hit some big shots in the playoffs. And I'm not reading too much into what Wall said about them wanting to move the ball faster and Paul Pierce couldn't quite play in his up-tempo offense that they wanted to run. I just think Beal and Wall in the backcourt is far and away the best backcourt in the Eastern Conference behind Curry and Thompson, second best in the league probably. Ty Lawson and James Harden's also going to be very good this year. But I think that combination and with the size they have and Gortat and Nene and some tough guys down low with that guard combo, I think they're probably one of the most talented teams in the East. And they've now shown that they can win. They played a tough series with the Hawks last year. I think they're a team that thinks that they can go very deep into the playoffs. And I think that's the kind of mentality you have to win a lot of games in the regular season. So, yeah, I have them at four also.
Right. And for me, you know, just to kind of go off some Wizards stats real here, because I can just, you know, looking at the way they've played, followed them the most the preseason, obviously. You know, the preseason, you can make what you will of it. You know, people were playing teams in Brazil and China and all that, but Wizards have the highest offensive efficiency rating in the NBA in the preseason. We, in the playoffs, basically changed the way we played all last regular season, so you have to kind of throw that out the window. Playing small, small ball with Nene coming off the bench, we went out and got Jared Dudley. And really, the reason that I didn't have us at three is because I don't think the committee, the small forward committee that's going to be Otto Porter, Jared Dudley, Kelly Oubre, is going to be, you know, enough to win to get us up to the third spot. Right now, our starting lineup looks like it's going to be Chris Humphries at the stretch four. He's already shot maybe 43s in the preseason, and you know, I just don't like that as a top three team in the East with Chris Humphries shooting threes and that being our model for the season. But no, I think if that can work out, or if Otto Porter can come out of his shell, then I think we'll be fine. Finish up three, but I'll be happy with four. Have home court advantage for the first time in the John Wall era. See how that works out.
Yeah. All right. So we've actually been pretty similar so far here. Who do you have in the five hole?
Five hole. I went with the Hawks. I think while we were talking about losing Damari Carroll, the Hawks are still a great team. I really respect the way that they play and that kind of basketball that they were playing down there last year. Just don't see the fact that they could have too much of a drop off. Went out and picked up, made a trade with the Wizards actually draft day. And you know, I think they've gotten some good additions this year with Hardaway Jr. and some other players, if I'm not correct.
Yep, they stole my boy Tim Hardaway. He was one of the bright spots for the Knicks last year in a pretty dark and dismal season. So losing him, you know, kind of sucked. He was one of our only effective players last year. I have the Hawks in the five spot too. I don't know if I agree with you saying not much of a drop off, because I think going from the one seed in the East to the five seed in the East is kind of a pretty severe drop off. But I think they're still going to be. I still think they're going to be pretty good. I like the offense Budenholzer runs. I think Schroeder's going to explode this year as a potential sixth man of the year candidate. I just like the way they ran their offense. I don't think Damari Carroll is enough of a hit for them to still not be,
defensively is biggest. Yeah.
Defensively,
so you have Hawks at five?
Going to be the biggest blow. I have Hawks at five. Yep. And now is when I think we might start seeing some differences in our picks, because I think those are kind of the clear cut top five teams in the East. My sixth team, I'd be surprised if you have this team here, is the Miami Heat. I think the whole Bosch thing last year was a huge distraction. Wade's obviously on not his last legs, but he's very much over the hill. But he was still effective in situations last year. If he gets the rest he needs, a game here or there, I think he can still be very effective. I think Dragic is good. He came in midseason, tough to really be effective like that. The team was kind of in shambles last year after LeBron left, because they were kind of, for a while, they thought he was going to come back. They drafted his boy Shabazz Napier, and then they had the midseason deal with Dragic, and they brought in Deng for the first time. And so then Bosch left for the season. It was just, there was a lot of uncertainty in that team. I think now they've had an off season under their belt to get used to each other, and I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, see, like, I guess great minds think alike. That's actually who I do have in the sixth spot. I got a lot of ridicule this past year watching Justice Winslow down the road while we were at UNC playing at Duke, but Winslow's actually one of my favorite college basketball players last year to watch. I think his game translates great to the NBA, and I think he was the steal of the draft for the Heat. I think he's perfect for Wade. Can sit some games out, Justice can play and start some games. I also think Chris Bosh is one of the most valuable players in the NBA, and if it seems like all the medical reports are correct and he'll be fine for the season, I think he is just a matchup nightmare, being 7-footer who can shoot threes and, you know, just completely stretch the floor for slashers like Wade and Winslow to just pick apart defenses all year. And, you know, Mario Chalmers, as we know, can make a shot every now and again when he's on. So I do like the Heat right there. Coming in at the sixth spot, couldn't agree more with what you said. And I do think Spoelstra is a great coach still, so I think he can figure out everything to do down there in Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mention Winslow. I think he was one of the better players in the draft. I wanted the Knicks to take him at 4. I was obviously fairly devastated when we fell out of the top 3 because we didn't get in, you know, Okafor, Towns, or D'Angelo Russell. But 4 was kind of a weird no man's land zone, mm-hmm. and I wanted us to take Winslow. And when he fell as far as he did, I was shocked. I think they have the potential with him and Dang and Bosch and Birdman. I think they have the potential to be a really tough defensive team. We're on the same page still. Who do you got in the 7-hole?
7-hole is where I, you know, maybe making a bold decision or not, but I went with the Milwaukee Bucks at 7. I think that team with Jabari and how young they were last year, at first, you know, everyone kind of, the Bucks didn't seem like they could do much. We saw that Greek Freak Giannis can carry the team if he needs to. John Henson, they just signed him up. I think he's kind of coming into his own. And Jabari Parker, I think, if he had stayed healthy, I think the Bucks could have made a little run for the playoffs. But other than that, I think Jason Kidd showed that he can actually be a competent coach that doesn't need to use players running in him to spill water all over the court like he did in Brooklyn. But I think those young players really bought into Jason Kidd and respected him because, you know, most of them grew up watching Jason Kidd. They're all such a young team. And I think the East is relatively older, you know, getting up there age-wise, and I think the Bucks could steal some games being a young team.
I have the Celtics in the 7-hole. I just love what Brad Stevens is doing there. I love Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench as the 6th man. In 2013, Stevens' first year with the team, they were 25 and 57. Next year, last year, they go 40 and 42, make the playoffs. I mean, that's a massive improvement. I think he's a really good coach. I think they've developed a team, not necessarily full of superstars, but full of guys who buy into his system. And in the NBA, I think that's something really important. You've seen it with the Spurs and Popovich. They don't necessarily have guys that jump off the page at every position on the floor, but they all buy into his system. And I think that's happening in Boston. And you've seen it in the improvement over the last year. And I see it continuing. Obviously, I don't see it that much of an improvement, but I think they could get to like, to be like a 45-46 win team this year.
Yep. And my 8th spot, I go in with Boston as well. Just right behind Milwaukee. So I guess it makes sense to just continue talking about Boston. I agree. I think Brad Stevens, you know, if with the exception of Popovich, I think he was a very obvious choice to pick for USA Basketball. I think Brad Stevens will be the next USA Basketball coach. I think they wanted to get Popovich because I bet they're scared, you know, losing some of the LeBrons and those guys. I think that those guys would probably all love to play for Popovich. But I think Brad Stevens is a great coach, going back to the transition with college coaches to the NBA. The Celtics went out and got David Lee and Amir Johnson, shored up some of their inside issues. I don't think, you know, having Kelly Olynyk being your anchor down low is definitely a great model in the NBA. But I love the Celtics' youth, very similar to the Bucks. They really stole some games from people, and I think the Celtics, you know, will be a pretty good team this year. RJ Hunter can stretch the floor, and I just trust Brad Stevens to sort of get them on the right page, finishing in the 8th spot.
Yeah, and my team in the 8 hole is the Bucks, so we were just flip flop there and flip flop at 1-2. Bucks, I mean, their improvement was ridiculous. And the same thing that Celtics, I said about them, is even more crazy for the Bucks. 2 years ago, they go 15-67, one of the worst records in the league. Get the 2 pick, get Parker. A year later, Parker doesn't even play most of the year, goes down. Somehow, Kidd gets them to 500 at 41-41. I think they're going to be a good team this year. I think the East is going to be better. Obviously, still not as good as the West. But I think the Bucks are a team on the rise, just like the Celtics are. But I think there's still too much talent and experience at the top of the East for them to really move that far up. But I have them both making the playoffs this year. So I guess the snub for me would have been the Hornets. I don't have high expectations for the Hornets. Some people do. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't like their team. I mean, I guess I like the Batum move, but aside from that, Kid Gilchrist just went down. I just don't really buy into the Hornets much.
Yeah, the Kid Gilchrist.
So yeah, I mean, I guess
really,
that was kind of
had
a
Kid Gilchrist up there.
Yeah, so that's a pretty boring start to the show. We basically we had the exact same teams making the finals. The only difference is being Hathaway's got Bulls finishing first. I have the Cavs, and he has the Bucks finishing seventh, and I have the Celtics. So not a lot, nothing doing there. There might be some more different with a lot of
differences
loaded teams.
In the West. I definitely can see some differences coming in the West.
Yeah, so let's see. I'll fire it up first. My team, I got winning, coming, finishing first in the West. A year removed from that Western Conference crown, San Antonio Spurs. I love the Aldridge move. Popovich is still doing his thing. Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge bring a little more youth to a team that had been aging pretty hard. Tony Parker can still run in a very, very effective game at point guard. Obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge is one of the most dynamic scorers in the league. He's got a great mid-range game, which is huge for Popovich. He can run the pick and roll. He, in a lot of ways, reminds me of Duncan with a better shot. Obviously, not as polished as Duncan is fundamentally, but he can do a lot of the same things that Duncan did in his prime. I think the Spurs get back to first in the West this year.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I think being more in the majority here, picking with, I guess you could call a safe bet, but I just think the Warriors are, again, not going to be the best team in basketball. You know, a lot of people thought they might lose some guys, maybe Harrison Barnes go for greener pastures where he could be more of a you know, go-to option, but they all those players decided to stick together. And I just think the Warriors were just going to pretty much pick up where they left off. They, I guess, only lost David Lee for the most part. I think Harrison Barnes is going to have a breakout year, and Steph Curry is going to showing already he's not going to give up that MVP award too easily.
All right. Well, I have the Warriors in the two spot for me, so certainly think the Warriors are going to be a really good team. I think Steve Kerr was the perfect pick to coach that team. I wanted the Knicks to get him. No dice. It was a kind of a brutal situation because he asked for a salary. Phil Jackson says no, and then ends up giving Derek Fisher exactly what Kerr wanted in the first place. So that's tough to see that coach, who had such a great relationship with Phil Jackson, go win a title his first year in the league with the Warriors. They're certainly going to be really good. There's no way around that. They still have the Splash Brothers. Draymond Green's a good all-around player. You talked about Barnes. And at the end of the day, they're just a team that can win. They can score in bunches really fast. They have two guards who are virtually unguardable. So, yeah, I think I like them in the two spot for me and expect them to have another great season.
Couldn't agree with you more. So my two spot, I guess a little bit shaking it up. I've got actually the Thunder finishing it at the two spot. I think Russell Westbrook can carry a team without KD. I think KD is going to come back and be healthy. I just think that the Thunder, you know, people are sort of forgetting about them because they have been so banged up recently. And, I mean, obviously that's a big factor in, you know, finishing the top. Teams that are healthiest usually are the ones that finish high in the standings. But I just think KD's coming out. He's tired of him. People talk about all these other teams in the West getting all the recognition. And I really think that the Thunder are going to be able to come out and people, if Westbrook and Durant are together healthy with Ibaka on the side, similar to a Bosch where it's just seven-footers that can make threes nowadays, I just think that trio is pretty much unmatched as far as the rest of the NBA is concerned. So I guess in terms of my view, it's more the biggest risk in me taking the Thunder at two is basically just gambling that they're healthy. If they stay healthy, I think that they finish two, you know, and, you know, show the West basically what they have in the prior 3 years to before their injuries.
I am with you. I have the Thunder in the three spot. I was tempted to actually put them in the one spot almost, because when they are healthy, I think they're the best team in the West, might be the best team in the league. But it was tough for me to do that because it's too much of a risk because they haven't been able to stay healthy. Ibaka hasn't been able to stay healthy, and Durant's foot problem is an issue for me. If they can stay healthy, there's no reason they can't win at all. But I got to see him. I got to see him be healthy, and I'm going to go with the teams that have beaten them out the last 2 years, and that's the Warriors and the Spurs have been able to stay healthy and be effective. Spurs 2 years ago, Warriors last year. But I do have the Thunder in the three spot. But certainly there's no ceiling on their talent. They could easily win the West. They could easily win the title. But like you said, it all hinges on staying healthy. Durant's foot problem, I said it once, I'll say it again, it scares me. When guys that tall have feet problems, it usually doesn't go well. I hope it doesn't happen with him because he's one of the best players in our game. And he's one of the most unique players, I think, that's ever played with his height and touch. But when those big guys have feet problems, historically, it's usually been a lingering issue, not a one-and-done deal. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But I have the Thunder in the three spot, and wouldn't surprise me at all if they finish higher than that. Who do you have in the three spot?
Three spot is when it was starting to get difficult for me because it's so hard to look to see teams that have been so proven in the past be much lower than three. And the West is just, you realize how deep they are when you're making these predictions. But I'm going with the Rockets at the three spot. I think Ty Lawson's a great addition for them. James Harden, I think, might be the best. Sadly to say to you, and as a big Melo fan, I think James Harden might be the best scorer in the NBA now. And I just think having Dwight Howard down there anchoring your defense in the West is just so big. And the Rockets last year showed that they can win games. Great, they're a great team. They're not afraid to go out and make that midseason move that they might need to shore up a high seed. And I just really like what they've been doing. Not the biggest Dwight Howard fan in terms of relying on him. In that sense, I don't think he's got that sort of killer instinct that you need once you get in the playoffs, but I think he's just a good enough player. And with James Harden and Ty Lawson, and then Love, Patrick Beverley, I think that team is just a great team, and I think they're going to win some big games in the Western Conference. Got them finishing at three.
Yeah, I love the Rockets. That move by Ty Lawson, I think, it was one of the most fitting big name moves that's happened in a while. Ty Lawson, he had to do a lot in Denver because the Nuggets weren't very good when he was there, his last couple years at least. But he averaged 9.5 assists, 15.5 points. So he's not a guy that necessarily needs the ball at point guard all the time, because Harden obviously likes to hold the ball, but Lawson can be pass first point guard, and he can rack up a lot of assists and take a lot of the pressure off of Harden. Harden can come out of the game and not have to worry about the offense going dead because Ty Lawson pushes the ball so well that he creates offense just by pushing the tempo, and that alone will be big for the Rockets so that Harden doesn't have to play the whole game all season long. And he can also run a pretty mean pick and roll with Dwight Howard if they want to do that. But he can also score the ball, so he's a really dynamic guy. I think he'll fit in well. I don't think he's going to demand the ball all the time. Like a Chris Paul, I think, would have a hard time letting James Harden kind of control the offense when he wants to. But that's kind of the personality James Harden has, and you got to take the good with the bad with him. And I think Ty Lawson can do a bunch of different things, and I would like to think that he'll do especially since he's a Tar Heel, I think he'll do what is asked of him and what's best for the team. I think they're going to be really good too. The West is really deep. I have them in my four spot. So, the Western Conference is a big compliment.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, some of these teams, you could finish in the four spot with something like over 10 games over 500 or something. My four spot is now just did decide finally to go with the Spurs. Like I was saying, it's hard to see a team like the Spurs so far down. I still think they're going to have an amazing season. But sort of like what I touched on earlier, I think the Spurs, even more so this year, are going to be resting guys. Manu basically limped into the playoffs. Tim Duncan had a season that I think surprised just about everyone except for probably him. And I think this season, more so, they may be even a little bit more cautious. Obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge helps them be with a little bit of youth, but I think that could even, you know, cause players like Duncan and Manu to sit out even more, and they just sort of give the ball to LaMarcus and say, here, go try and win us this game. So, I mean, obviously I'm big on the Spurs, like the Spurs, like the way they play. Obviously Popovich, probably one of the best coaches that we've ever watched. So I trust him. If I'm a Spurs fan, I don't think I really care. As long as we can finish, you know, 1-5, I'm happy. But I think for those reasons, that's why I have them finishing behind some of those younger teams that care a little bit more with the home court advantage and trying to get those high playoff spots.
All right, so that's kind of the first big controversy, obviously, because I had the Spurs winning the West. Hathaway has them down at the 4 spot, so that's kind of the first big difference we've seen. 5 hole for me is the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they are just a team that wins games. They haven't been as good in the regular season as I think they actually are. They've been very good in the playoffs and made a series very tough for people, because as Hathaway and I have talked a lot about, the playoffs and the regular season are totally different. And the team I considered here was the Clippers. I ultimately went with the Grizzlies. They have the same team that they've had for what seems like the past 5-6 years that's in the Western Conference Finals half the time. Zebo and Marc Gasol, best big man combo in the game, in my opinion. And I, second year with their coach, I think they figured out a little more in the regular season. Mike Conley is, I think, one of the most underrated point guards in the league, even though that's becoming a popular thing to say, which makes him, you know, not as underrated. I think he is, you know, I think when he gets compared to, like, guys like John Wall and Steph Curry, obviously he's overlooked because he's not as good, but he is still very capable of running that team's offense, and I think they're going to have a really good year. Their coach, like I said, is now in his second year with the team. It took them a little while to get going last year, and it hurt their overall.
Completely agree.
They'll be on it a little from the start and finish in the 5 spot.
Right. Yeah. It looks like for me, sounds based on what you said, where you said you considered the Clippers at this spot. That's actually who I did go with. The Clippers, you know, I think a lot of people on paper love the Clippers. They're basically a team you create in NBA Live video game, and I think to some extent that might end up hurting them. There are a lot of personalities in the Clippers locker room, including Doc Rivers himself. I think this is one of his biggest tests as a coach, simply because, you know, Lance Stephenson, Paul Pierce, bringing in Josh Smith, and then you've already got a 2-time sixth man of the year and Jamal Crawford on the bench. That's just a lot of people who wanted to get shots up, and we didn't even mention DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, or Chris Paul. So, you know, I think that the Clippers have the talent, obviously. It's just, are people going to be willing to accept roles that basically haven't had to, you know, accept at any point in their career? I think one of the things that the Clippers have done is shown that they, you know, can win with this team, and that they, you know, are a great team. But I just think that they almost were, you know, brought too many players in this offseason, and that's why I have them down. That just, like, so much change within the organization, not to mention the horrible jerseys that they'll be wearing every day.
Those jerseys.
For those reasons. Yeah, they're just – but for those reasons, the Clippers got a slight nudge over the Grizzlies, just because with the talent that they have, it's so hard for me to put them much lower than 5.
Yeah. I have been on record for a long time now being – I don't think Doc Rivers is a good coach, but the players do respect him, which is the only reason I think there's a remote chance this fiasco they've created works. I don't think Ballmer knows how to be an executive. He brought in all these guys. I don't think they're going to fit well together at all. Like Lance Stephenson and Josh Smith, I don't know what you're thinking bringing those guys in. Like, Lance Stephenson was the worst three-point shooter in the history of professional basketball last year statistically. Josh Smith is a guy who requires a lot of attention. He can make a lot of dumb mistakes. And at the end of the day, it's like Chris Paul has shown that he can't win in the playoffs. I'm not saying it's his fault, but like when he was in New Orleans, it was like he didn't have any weapons. What's the problem now? I mean, he's got Blake Griffin, who some people are taking as a potential MVP candidate, and he's got DeAndre Jordan, who's one of the best centers in the league, and now you factor in he's had Jamal Crawford. Now you got even more guys. You got Paul Pierce, Lance Stephenson, Josh Smith. I think it's going to be a clown show to start the year. I think they're going to lose a lot of games early, and I think they're going to be a first round and out this year in the playoffs. I don't have faith in that team at all, but like you said, there's just too much talent there to not win a lot of the games in the regular season. So I have them in the sixth spot, but I don't think they're going to have a good year. And I think Doc Rivers is going to get exposed again. Only time he did anything was with that dream team he had with the Celtics. He's been underperformed in the playoff time after time with good teams. The Clippers have been one of the most talented teams. He hasn't gotten it done with them. He's never gotten to an NBA Finals since that Celtics team. I don't buy him. I don't buy this roster Ballmer's assembled. But there's enough talent there to win a bunch of games, so I have him in the sixth spot.
Yeah, right. And so for me, like I said, I've got Memphis in the sixth spot. Couldn't agree with you more about Mike Conley. People love talking about Conley and in the point guard conversations, and I couldn't agree more that he deserves to be mentioned with the names up there with John Wall. Just in terms of the way point guards have come or have transformed into being such scoring point guards, Mike Conley is just one of the pure point guards that we still have left. Just a great three-point shooter, great off the pick and roll, willing to sacrifice shots. And then, you know, like you said, love Zebo and Marcus Gasol, two of the best passing big guys that we've seen. They work well together. They're a proven team. The Grizzlies went out and got Brandon Wright, and I think he helps add a little bit of youth for them. And then one of my favorite players is just the glue guy, Tony Allen, that every great team needs, just the guy who's willing to lay it all out there night in, night out, get the team together when they're on a little slump. So Grizzlies, seeing them all the way down at six, might think that I'm not that high on them, but I think that unlike the East where there are clear-cut tiers, I think the West is the Grizzlies could just as easily be mentioned up there with the Warriors and Thunder, who I have up there at the top. Love the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, for me, this is kind of where I notice a little bit of a drop-off after the teams we've already mentioned in the seventh spot. I have the Mavs in the seventh spot. I love Rick Carlisle as a coach. I love bringing in Wesley Matthews. We've seen Dirk is on his last legs. He wasn't very effective last year, but they've made sure to not stay stagnant and, you know, just kind of suffer along as Dirk plays his last couple seasons. Chandler Parsons got hurt last year. That was big for them. They brought in Wesley Matthews from Portland. I think that was a really good move. I think they have some effective scorers. I don't think Dirk's going to be asked to do as much. And I think Rick Carlisle is a really, really good coach. So I have them in the seventh spot.
Seventh spot, yep. So I agree with you with the tiers. Here's where it drops off, and I think, you know, this is where teams are going to really want to get in and out, get into the playoffs. It's going to be sort of a, you know, GMs nowadays are faced with the question of, like, do we tank or do we try and just make it in as 7 and 8 and not be in the lottery? And a lot of teams have started to sort of move away from that. So it's kind of risky picks here. I'm at 7, actually went with the New Orleans Pelicans. I think that Anthony Davis showed last year that he is an early candidate for the MVP this year. Many had him got a lot of votes last year. I think that as a team, they are a little younger. They got Norris Cole. Tyreke Evans can be a good player when he's on. But, you know, I think that Anthony Davis himself can just win them enough games to get them into the playoffs. And so that's where I have him checking in at number 7.
Yeah, and the Pelicans are in the 8-hole for me. Obviously, Anthony Davis is now one of the best players in the league. There's no way around that. I don't really love the team that's around him. I thought Jrue Holiday was going to be good. It just seems like they have a lot of similar guys, like Tyreke Evans, Eric Gordon. They're very similar players to me. I like the way that Ryan Anderson fits into this team with Anthony Davis. They're in the 8th spot for me. I think Anthony Davis makes them a better team than they were last year, and they were in the 8-hole last year. I just still don't love this roster that much. It just seems like a lot of names, and they should be better. But I don't like the way these guys gel together. I think they could have – they had this as the same team they had last year. Anthony Davis has gotten a lot better, but I don't see any of those other guys really improving much, so I don't see the team really moving that far up. But again, basically – 6 teams in the West that are really, really good and all could easily go to the finals. And then these last 2 spots are a little more up in the air. I think the Pelicans definitely get in, could easily see them finishing 7th where you had them. Only real snub for me was the Suns. Some people have them, you know, getting in there at the 8th spot. I think the Suns have kind of a letdown year. I think they overperformed last year. I don't think they're making the playoffs this year. I don't know what your take is on that or the 8th spot.
Right. So 8th spot, I think this might be my most outrageous pick of the 16 that we've done. I actually snubbed both the Mavs and the Suns. I think those 2 teams, like I sort of touched on earlier, are going to move towards sort of rebuilding of sorts. I know Cuban loves to put a good team around Dirk, and he's tried his best this summer, but I just think that that's not going to happen. So I've got the Kings in at the 8th spot. Was a huge Rondo fan while he was on the Celtics. Obviously didn't do anything when he was with the Mavs. I'm a little bit worried about he and DeMarcus Cousins together, but I just think that Rondo, Ben McLemore, I think he's going to have a very good year in terms of improving. And I think similar to Anthony Davis, I think DeMarcus Cousins can carry some wins for the Kings. I love his confidence, and I think he and Rondo sort of know that the league is watching them and how they're going to respond to the way that they've acted. And I think that they're going to turn some heads in the West and slip into the 8th spot. Like we were saying, 7 and 8 spot in the West might as well be just a 6-team race. I don't see the Kings or the Pelicans doing much once they get to the playoffs, but I think the Kings are hungry. They'll slip into the 8th seed. Sorry to the Suns. Hate to see Dirk not make the playoffs, but I think it's time for Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, actually, when you started to talk, I literally, like, because I've been tracking who you've picked versus who I picked, and right when you started talking, I literally wrote 8th seed Kings. I love the Kings, too. I think the roster they've assembled is very solid with a lot of talent. And I think George Karl is a great coach. George Karl had big problems with when he was the coach in Denver. They were really good, but he did have problems with guys like J.R. Smith and Carmelo Anthony. And for me, that doesn't bode well on his relationship with guys like DeMarcus Cousins. Because I think Cousins is kind of a guy like, you know, J.R. Smith. He wants his numbers, and he's good, but I don't know if him and George Karl are necessarily the best match together. But that being said, all that time he didn't get along with Melo and Jarrett Smith. They were one of the best teams in the West. So I'm with you. I think the Kings could be good, but I'm going to go with the team that has been a little more experienced in the Mavs. But no knock on that pick at all. I like it. I think the Kings could be good. I want them to be good. I think it would be good for the league if the Kings were good again. And you got to see more of these guys because DeMarcus Cousins is one of the best young players in the league, and they put some good guys around him. Marco Bellinelli's on that team, obviously one of the elite shooters in our league. Caron Butler's a veteran who's had some success in some places. Rudy Gay has kind of been a dark cloud wherever he's gone. The team has really underperformed, and kind of similar to what's happened with Rajon Rondo recently. But I mean, those are a lot of big names on a team with a very good coach. So I could easily see you being right there. So next thing we're going to do, we're going to go into our selections for MVP of the year, defensive player of the year, coach of the year, and then we'll wrap it up with our first team All-NBA lists. I'm going to be honest with you. My predictions here are not bold. MVP, I think LeBron cruises. I mean, if you look at years after he didn't win the MVP, he's always won the MVP, with the exception, obviously, of last year. But he was kind of in a unique situation where the Warriors kind of went crazy, and he had to sacrifice his numbers at the start of the year trying to figure things out in Cleveland. I don't see him going 3 years in his prime without winning an MVP. I think his numbers are through the roof this year, and I think he wins it easy. Yeah, but I actually have a dark horse after Hugo that I think is going to have a really good year and is going to finish top five. And I'll go into him after you give your prediction.
Okay. Yeah. I think, if I had to bet on it, I would think LeBron is going to get it. But I just, for the sake of hating LeBron so much, and I guess as you listeners will come to learn, I can't stand LeBron James. He's knocked the Wizards out of the playoffs countless years during the Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler era. I think he's arrogant, and I think banking on him sitting out some games and not hurting him. And I think I'm going to go with Anthony Davis here. If my predictions are going to be correct and Anthony Davis does manage to get that Pelicans team into the playoffs, I think if he puts up somewhat close and maybe even improves on some of his numbers from last year, I think people are going to go sort of to give the new guy the MVP. And I think so for that reason, I'm going to have Anthony Davis as my MVP.
Yeah, I actually think that plays a big factor into it. It happened with Jordan a couple times where it's like if it's at all close,
Kobe,
they're going to go with a different guy. It's better for the NBA. And if we've seen anything, the NBA is afraid to make a move if it boosts their image. If you get a young guy, a marketable young guy like Anthony Davis, who's really good, they're all about that. So I think that hurts LeBron. My guy, who I think is going to finish top five, hasn't been mentioned once. His team hasn't been mentioned once, is Paul George. I think he's actually has the size and the ability to be one of the leading scorers in the league. I think he's going to be asked to do a lot more with a Pacers team that people aren't expecting much out of. I think he could average 25-plus a game. I think he will. He's gotten his athleticism back from his knee injury. And you've seen it a couple times in the playoffs where he's put on crazy performances. I think he has the best year of his career. And the Pacers won't be very good, so he'll be able to put up a lot of crazy numbers. And I think he finishes top five in the voting.
Yeah, I like that too. And I do think people are somewhat similar to, the Kevin Durant and things like that, forgetting just how good Paul George was when he was coming into his own.
Yeah, exactly. And he's still a young guy. Defensive player of the year, I got your boy Anthony Davis in a landslide. Some other people that people have been talking about, Draymond Green. I don't like Draymond Green's game. I know the experts love him. Advanced matrix statistics, all that is he's one of the best players in the league. I know he finished second last year, but I think Anthony Davis' blocks numbers are going to be through the roof, and he's a lockdown guy who's going to play every day. So I expect Anthony Davis to win Defensive Player of the Year pretty easily.
And, for me, obviously, they're not going to give Anthony Davis Defensive Player of the Year. I think that's going to factor into him winning MVP. I hated the Draymond Green Defensive Player of the Year last year. I'm not a huge fan in the sabermetrics. I'm going with Kawhi Leonard here. I think Kawhi Leonard, we haven't talked about him much. We talked about the Spurs a lot. We talked about LaMarcus Aldridge. Kawhi Leonard is going to be, the same guy that he's always been. And I think, he's just such a great defender. Those wing defenders are so valuable. If you don't have one, you can't win in the playoffs. And I think if the Spurs are going to do well, I think they will, especially in the playoffs. I think Kawhi Leonard is going to get the recognition that he deserves.
Yep. All right. Who do you have in the Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year. I kind of have, I guess, want to go with a dark horse, but I've got sort of my surefire one, and then I've got a guy that I think might it's not too dark horse, but I think Jahlil Okafor is going to win the Rookie of the Year. I think the way the Sixers are set up, I think he's just immediately ready to step in and score. I think he could average, you know, double-double in his rookie year. And the just Rookie of the Year is just basically about padding your stats. Whoever's putting up the most numbers, doesn't really matter what the team's doing. For that sense, I think Jahlil Okafor is going to win it. But I really like the way my dark horse is set up in his situation to potentially pull the award away as well.
Who's your dark horse?
Emmanuel Mudiay. Yeah, I just think I think that he's just going to have the ball so much. I think they're going to let him sort of put fans in the seats and run the show. He's had a great preseason, and I think similar to Jahlil, I think that they're both just going to be able to stuff the stat sheet and come in and just be immediate impact players for their teams.
Yeah, well, we're on the same page there because Mudiay is actually my pick. He was obviously one of the best talents coming out of high school. There was a weird situation with him. Didn't end up playing for SMU. I talked about depends on what team you're on, which I think is going to hurt a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns because the Timberwolves, I think, are actually going to be pretty good. There's going to be a lot of people getting numbers. Wiggins is going to be really good again. I think the Nuggets are going to be kind of a bottom feeder in the West, and that means he should have a lot of opportunities to pad his stats. I think they'll let him play deep in games, maybe when they're out of games, and he'll be able to put up some pretty solid numbers for a rookie. So I think we're on the same page there. And I also think he's a really electric player, super athletic, point guard, good size at 6'5". So I think he'll be effective right away for the Nuggets, and I could see him winning. And I think it's all about the position he's in because even the Sixers have a couple other big guys, and the Lakers with D'Angelo Russell is going to have a really hard time winning it with Julius Randle in his first year coming back, and obviously Kobe Bryant might make it near impossible for him. No shade at Kobe. It's just he didn't play last year. I think he's still got a lot of ability, so I think he's going to want the ball a lot. I think that's going to hurt D'Angelo's chances at winning it. My Porzingis plays for the Knicks. I think he's going to be fucking terrible, so he's not in it for me. So I love Mudiay. We're on the same page there. My coach of the year pick, because I have the Spurs winning the West, is going to be Pop again. I think the Spurs win the West. I think they get a lot of credit for that. And he ends up getting coach of the year.
Yeah. I think for me, my coach of the year pick is more just for how well his team, he's just going to sort of reap the benefits of how well his team did based on my predictions. And I'm going with the rookie coach, Billy Donovan. I think Billy Donovan has one of the best track records of translating college players to the NBA with Horford, Joakim Noah, Bradley Beal, Chandler Parsons, just the list goes on and on. And I think he's going to translate well to the NBA. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be the best coach, but I think he's going to basically ride the award on the tails of Durant's health and Ibaka and Westbrook kind of carrying the team, showing I didn't think Scott Brooks was the greatest coach, and I think Billy Donovan, if he can just be somewhat better than Brooks was, then I think then he might win the award.
Yeah. All right, cool. I could see that happening too. That's a pick some people are making. If the Thunder have a really good year, there's no reason he can't win it. We saw last year it was basically between two rookie coaches. Between Budenholzer and Kerr last year were the two that were up for it. So rookie coaches certainly can win it. Wouldn't shock me if the Bulls were really good if Fred Hoiberg was in the conversation. So we're on the same page there. Last thing we're going to do before we wrap it up is our All-NBA first team. Mine is pretty standard, not a ton of surprises, but the one is my guy Paul George is going to snub KD, and I'll just go from the top. I got Curry, I got James Harden, I got LeBron James, I got Paul George, and then over Anthony Davis. I'm actually going with DeMarcus Cousins at the center spot. I think he puts up outrageous numbers this year and ends up actually, like, proving that he's maybe the best center in the game. Obviously, Anthony Davis might be considered a power forward, so maybe they could both get in. But those are my three. Those are my five. Obviously, the big wild card there is Paul George. I expect huge things from him this year. And I think Cousins edges out Anthony Davis.
Yeah, mine's pretty much all just about the same as yours. Same with Curry at the one. Agree with you with Harden at the two. Hate to say it, but LeBron's going to make the first team All-NBA. To anyone who doesn't think so is crazy unless he misses more than half the year. And then if I'm going to have Anthony Davis as the MVP is going to be – he's going to be in my he's going to be in my five spot. And then four, I think KD comes back and I think he slips in as a four. It's I really don't like these first All-NBA things because the NBA is basically transitioning into a virtually positionless or multi-position. Every player plays multiple positions, and it's sort of, you know, the question, like you were saying, is Boogie Cousins a five? Is Anthony Davis? But yeah, I think Durant slips in if he can have any remote comeback and have another good year.
My thing is I'm very concerned that Durant can't stay healthy. I mean, if he plays a full season, his numbers are going to put him in the first team. I agree with you about the position things. I think it should be the five best players, not necessarily the position. To be honest, it wouldn't shock me if your boy John Wall snuck in there over Curry. His assist numbers have been better than Curry's. He led the league last year, I'm pretty sure. Is that right?
Yeah, he and Chris Paul went tit for tat for assists and Chris Paul and John Wall, honestly, I just think Chris Paul's stats are too similar to Wall to the point where Wall would ever get the recognition. They both were the only two-point guards to average 15 points, more than 8 assists, and then 5 rebounds, I believe. So I just think as long as Chris Paul's doing the similar thing to Wall, Wall's going to kind of get snubbed. And, I, you know, I like it. I like him getting snubbed. I like him staying hungry. And, you know, wanting to prove himself every night.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to wrap up with our picks against the spread for the first night of the season. I am going to go with the Atlanta Hawks. They're at home. They're favored by 6.5. I mean, this line to me should be higher. I think they should be favored by 10. The Pistons are a team that won 32 games last year. I don't have high hopes for them this year. I like their coach, but I think the Hawks are going to be really good this year. I think they've been probably reading some press about all these other teams in the East, like the Bulls, like the Cavs, like the Raptors, like the Wizards, probably feel like they're not getting the respect they deserve. And at the end of the day, they're running the same system that led them the first place in the NBA. I think they come out hot running Budenholzer's system. And I think they run all over the Pistons, who I don't think are going to be a very good team this year. So 6.5 is too low of a line for me. I'm taking the Hawks.
Yeah, I like that pick as well. I think the Hawks are a proven team, and the Pistons are just a few years away from being a reputable team. I went with a more I don't like taking NBA huge lines just because I think the NBA is just a team where one guy gets hot. So I'm taking the Cavaliers. They're playing the Bulls. They're playing in Chicago. I know I picked the Bulls over the Cavaliers in the East, but the Cavs, you know, they have their whole team there. They're healthy. Derrick Rose, face a little banged up. The Bulls are -3, so I think the Cavs can go into Chicago with LeBron, with a healthy team, and be hungry after the embarrassment that they displayed in the playoff, in the finals, and I think they go in and win that game.
Obviously, Kyrie's not playing, but I don't think he'll be playing for a while. I don't think that'll faze him too much.
Yeah.
I like that pick. I'm going to take the Cavs as well. But I like the Hawks line a little bit better. So those are the predictions for the season. The big differences for us were I'm a little higher on the Spurs. but it sounds like we're kind of on the same page with them having problems with all those personalities. So we'll see how that shakes out. I think the Clippers storyline is one of the most interesting in the league. We're also very high on the Ty Lawson move. So if you're listening for gambling predictions on regular season wins, futures, I think we're both expecting the Bulls and Wizards, Bulls and Raptors to be very good. We expect the Heat to overperform potentially, potentially have the Hornets underperform. I think the Clippers are going to underperform. And if you like taking a chance on a team, go with the Kings. Hathaway likes the Kings. I like the Kings as well. That's a team that could hit the over on regular season wins. But the Western Conference is tough. A lot of those good teams have really high numbers on the regular season win futures. So it's a tough one to bet. You know, it's a lot of, there's not a lot of room for error for those teams up at the top. So it's scary to take an over on a team who's predicted, you know, 60 plus wins. So those are the moves. That's the end of the show. We will be back once a week doing the show, talking about the lead stories, as well as going back to these predictions and seeing if we were right or wrong. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Tobin to drop nasty bang lane switching. Once you turn your neck for a sec, your dame's missing. Buhando, Buhando. The cops come and got that rap patrol behind you. Get the running, I'm unstoppable. Ho, unstoppable flow. I'm the compadre, the Sinatra of my day. Old blue eyes, my nigga, I did it my way. If y'all not rolling with hope, then hit the highway.
Well, I know you